Welcome to the DVDeets, the ultimate podcast for women over 40 who are ready to take control of their health, ditch the diets, and lose weight for good. I am your host and coach, Danya Powers, and I am super excited to dive into today's episode. Let's say you are crushing your weight loss goals all week. You are just killing it. And then Friday night hits, stress, exhaustion, or even just boredom kicks in. And before you know it, you are elbows deep in a whole bag of chips and ice cream, or both, promising yourself you'll start fresh on Monday. Does that sound familiar? Today's episode, we're going to break down why emotional eating even keeps happening for you, and when you're motivated, that's when you go, and then when you're unmotivated, emotional eating happens, how your brain is wired for comfort eating, how to rewire it, and the exact steps to break the cycle for good. So if you've ever found yourself eating when you're not hungry, this episode is for you. Go ahead and grab some water, have a seat, get comfy, and let's dive into this. What is emotional eating? You know, emotional eating is not actually about food, and it's really hard to convey that, but if you will really hear me, it's never actually about food. It's about what the food is doing for you emotionally. So the signs that you're emotionally eating, and these were mine. So you may have different signs that are kind of along the same threads, but eating when you're stressed or bored, my really bored. Let me tell you why bored for me, because it makes me feel productive. I have ADHD and I like to be busy, and it makes me feel productive to eat. And so when I was eating, if I was turning to food and emotionally eating, it was because I was bored, because I felt like I needed to feel productive. So boredom is a reason. Loneliness is a reason. Feeling overwhelmed because life is just hitting you really hard. You may emotionally eat when you feel out of control around certain foods. I've had clients be like, I can't have chocolate chips in my house. And I'll be like, you know what you're going to do? You're going to go buy a bag of chocolate chips and you're going to eat chocolate chips every day. You know why? Because that food does not control you. Or I had one client that was like, I can't control myself around ice cream. And I'm like, great, you're going to eat a whole tub of ice cream every day. And we're going to do that until you understand that that food does not control you. And that sounds crazy to do that. But what you have to learn is that there's not a food that you have to leave off limits. And we're going to talk about that. You also may be craving specific comfort foods, not just hunger. Like, I've got to have mashed potatoes and gravy. I have to have that, right? So it's not just about willpower. It's about how your brain's been trained to handle emotions through food. Let's break that down. Why does your brain crave comfort foods? Comfort foods. I say that very loosely. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Your brain is like a toddler throwing a tantrum. So just picture that for a second. You've been in the Walmart. Your kid is like, I would like a lollipop. And you go, no. And then all heck breaks loose. You got this kid throwing the fit in the aisle. You know, screaming his head off, and the very first thing you want to do is be like, here's your lollipop, shut up, all we gotta do is get out the door, right? It wants instant relief. That is your brain, and food is the easiest way to get that. So the science behind it is you've created this dopamine reward loop for yourself, where it was created for you early on in your childhood. Your brain releases dopamine, the feel-good hormone, and when you eat comfort food, it learns stress equals eat equals feel better. That's what happens. You have this little loop that you've created for yourself. Or you have a habit loop. Every time that you use food to cope, you reinforce that habit. Does that make sense? I just need to eat this. If I'll eat this, I'll be able to get through. I'm going to get the Blizzard from Dairy Queen, and I'm going to get through. Associations. If you grew up associating with food with love, safety, reward, that is me. Ice cream after a bad day. Those sorts of things, your brain still sees food as emotional support because that's what we've trained it to do. We've trained it to be that, you know, very bad acting toddler in the middle of Walmart. Emotional eating equals putting a Band-Aid on things. What do I mean by that? Imagine that your emotions are like a leaky pipe. If you've ever had a leaky pipe, if you put a Band-Aid on the leaky pipe, what is going to happen? Eventually, that Band-Aid is going to fill up, it's going to overflow, and now you would have to go get another Band-Aid and put it on the leaky pipe. It might stop the leak temporarily, but the problem is still there, right? So the next time the emotions flood in, you just go grab another Band-Aid and then another Band-Aid until suddenly your kitchen is flooded and you don't actually know how to stop it. The real solution is to stop patching it with food and fix the actual leak. There's a really great book. I think it is called Kill the Spider. And it's a book about having these trigger things happen in your life. And if you imagine that they're cobwebs and you have all these cobwebs, so you have like a trigger reaction to, you know, overeating would be an example. So you go to a potluck and you're like, oh, I haven't been around this food in forever. So you fill your plate up not once, not twice, but three times, right? Because you have this cobweb hanging over you. Why do you do that? Well, you actually have to go back through that cobweb, locate the actual spider attached to the cobweb, and kill it. So it's kind of that same concept. How do we fix this for good? The first step is to identify your triggers. If you've never kept a food journal for a week, it's really important that you write down when cravings hit and the emotions that you have attached to that craving, because there's a purpose behind it that you have taught yourself in your past, okay? Common triggers are stress, loneliness, boredom, frustration, anxiety, problems at work, etc. Once you see the patterns, you can start disrupting them. Anytime that you see a pattern, you can be like, oh, I see the pattern. I see where it's coming from. That's huge. That's actually very empowering. So how do we interrupt that habit loop? So the 5-minute rule, when a craving hits, set a timer for 5 minutes, whether it's on your phone, wherever it is, set a timer for 5 minutes, grab 16 ounces of water, chug it, and then ask yourself, am I hungry? Am I actually hungry? What am I feeling right now? What do I really need? What do I really need? And if you still want food after 5 minutes, go ahead and have it. But this is how I want you to have it. I will tell my divas all the time, I'll be like, go ahead and if it's the cookie, let's say it's a cookie and you really, really want the cookie. Well, by golly, when you start eating that cookie, you enjoy that cookie. You spend some time, you light a candle with that cookie because you were trying to really savor the cookie. Scientifically, we enjoy the first 3 bites of food. After those first 3 bites, it's just emotion, that you're just finishing it out. Well, I don't want to waste it, right? Just finishing the cookie. So those first 3 bites, you savor, you know what I mean? Spend some time with that cookie, enjoy that cookie. And then if you still are craving cookies after that, you kind of have to give yourself a moment to pause, go grab another drink of water, and to see if you're just dealing with some emotion, right? Sometimes we really just want a cookie, and it's okay to eat a cookie. I want to make sure you know that. Most of the time, cravings disappear, though, when we give ourselves a moment to pause. We want to replace food with real comfort. Real comfort means, you know, for stress, go for a walk. Go for a walk. 10-minute walk does a world of wonders for our mental health. Physically, if you're doing a 10-minute walk consistently over time, that helps you lose weight. It's a great option when you are really feeling stress. Another way to deal with stress, one of my clients loves to journal, and she has journaled for years. And when she feels stressed, she writes it down in her journal. My coach journals every single morning because he deals with emotional eating. You can also do deep breathing. If you have a hard time sitting still, deep breathing may actually be a really good answer for you because it helps you to be productive while you're being still. And there's a lot of really awesome deep breathing Spotify channels. There's deep breathing YouTube channels. You can always reach out and ask me what I do. I like to box breathe, and then I do a 7-8-4 pattern. If you've done deep breathing, you know what that is. If you haven't, you're like, I have no idea what she's talking about. It sounds like math. It's not, I promise. But for boredom, find a non-food reward. Maybe you like to read. Maybe listening to music is your jam. Maybe dancing is your jam. Maybe walking the dog is your favorite thing. I hate walking my dog, but I love my dog. But walking my dog, she always yanks my arm. It's just such a pain. Like, I'm so stressed out by the time she barks at the people. I'm like, this is not worth the stress, walking my dog. But for boredom, find something that doesn't have anything to do with food to reward yourself. For anxiety, go find a human. If you don't find a human, you're going to probably stay in anxiety. You either need a hug, which is actual comfort, or you just need somebody to listen to what's causing. Sometimes I don't know why I'm upset until I talk about it. I call myself an external verbalizer. Until it comes out of my mouth, I don't even know why I'm upset. And so sometimes I just need to talk to somebody. And that's not always my husband. Husbands are fix-its. And so they don't, you know, he's always going to be like, do you want me to fix this? And it's like, no. So we have this conversation of, do you need to be heard or do you need me to fix this for you? And then I'm just like, no, I want to be heard. And I just get everything out. And sometimes it's, you know, the best thing for me because I'll be like, oh, now I know why I'm upset. You can also just kind of practice some mindfulness, do some meditation, do some breathing. Like I said, Spotify, YouTube, they all have some really great options. You can listen to a podcast. I know a great one. Food might be easy, but it's not solving the problem. If you are always buying that kind of food and keeping it in your house as well, if you know that's your, if that's what you're turning to, as you are learning and growing and learning how to overcome emotional eating, don't keep stuff in your house that you know you're going to turn to. Not because you can't have it, not because you can't have cookies, but it's because you are learning how to be okay with yourself. You're learning how to be still with yourself. And if you always have access to what is your drug and your addiction, then you are always going to turn to it. So try to pull it away to clear the space, to clear your mind. Food is easy, but it's not solving a problem. Find what helps you feel better that has nothing to do with food instead of just numbing it out. Using food to deal with emotions is the same thing as somebody snorting cocaine to deal with emotions. It's the same thing as somebody drinking alcohol. It's a numbing. They are numbing out pain and they're trying to escape. And so with each person, that is a little bit different. And so don't make food off limits, but give yourself a break. If you are having problems with it, give yourself a break from it. Put all kinds of nutritious food on hand. Let's say you normally would go for the whole pack of Oreos. If you have a bag of broccoli, you'll only eat a certain amount of it. It's not going to be the same. You'd have to eat 50 pounds of broccoli to hit the same calorie intake anyways, but you're only going to eat a certain amount of it. So it does help you to have those foods there. But if you are restricting 100% all of the time and being like, you can never have cookies again, you are going to create more emotional eating because you're going to be like, now I feel like I'm being naughty. And that's not what we're trying to do. There's no bad food. It's a matter of, are you using it as an emotional numbing, like an addiction, like a drug, or are you using food to nourish your body and fuel your body? And you have to start looking at it like that. Also, when I say eat the cookie, you know, enjoy the cookie, spend some time with the cookie, light a candle with the cookie, you have to give yourself permission to enjoy food without guilt. But that's not the, I'm going to eat all of these cookies because if I hurry up and eat these today, they won't be here to tempt me tomorrow. Am I the only person that's done that or is that just me? So focus on adding in nourishing food instead of restricting. So if you need to eat cookies, there's great cookies that are pretty healthy out there. You know what I mean? You could actually pull cookies back in. If chocolate is your jam, I never take away chocolate from Divas. I always program chocolate on their plan because chocolate is the mom, and I think it's super important to have in your world if you like chocolate. I try not to take away anything. The only thing that we restrict a little, and this is just kind of a rabbit trail, is alcohol. And the only reason that we do that, and I try to get people to just, you know, not completely quit alcohol, but stay away from it as much as you can while you're in the weight loss process, is because the very second that you take a drink of alcohol, the body recognizes that as a toxin and it will stop every other process to get that out of your system. So it will not let you lose weight anymore. It's going to get the poison out first because it's a machine. It's a survival machine. And so that's the only reason I tell people not to drink, because people are like, oh, the empty calories. No, your body thinks it's poison and it can't help you lose weight if you always drink alcohol. Does that make sense? So if you're a glass of wine a day gal, you have to stop that for a little while, probably permanently, because you're going to feel so much better not drinking alcohol every single day. But do I tell people they can't drink? No, I don't do that. That's stupid. Even I will have a drink occasionally. I'm not going to tell you that I don't. So if we have all of these things in place, you will start noticing that you are feeling more free. So make sure that you are identifying your triggers. Make sure that you are interrupting the habit loop. So, you know, once you recognize the pattern, interrupt it. How can I change this? Why am I feeling it? What am I doing? All those different things. How can I make this but have it consciously be in my world, not something I'm numbing things out of it? Replace food with real comfort and make sure that you don't make any food completely off limits. That way you don't have all of these diet-minded restrictions that are toxic holding you down, and you can be free with your food. If this episode hit home for you and you've been stuck in an emotional eating cycle, let's tackle this together. Let's fix it together. DM me on Instagram the word freedom and I'll know that you watched this episode. You can find me at Danya Powers EC on Instagram. You can find me at Danya Powers EC on TikTok. You can find me at Danya Powers on Facebook. And you can find me at Danya Powers in Empowered Coaching on YouTube. I would love to help you break through this emotional eating cycle. It is something that we cover every single month with the Divas. And you can join my free Facebook group for support. It's on my Facebook page, Danya Powers. It's the very first link on the way down. It's the Empowered Divas free group. And you can also share this episode with a friend that might need to hear this message. But until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my Divas.
Thanks for tuning into this latest episode of the Diva Deets. If this helped you and you found it valuable, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Ready for more support? Join my free Facebook community or join my coaching community. The details are in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my divas.
Men are really resistant to lifting weights. Men are too, sometimes too. But for the most part, women are very resistant to lifting weights. But it's a very necessary step in losing weight, honestly. Because women are like, I'm so scared to get bulky. And you can't get bulky. Even if you really wanted to, you would have to really focus and take, you know, testosterone. It's not going to happen. When I tell a woman to pick up a 10-pound dumbbell, they're like, but I don't want to get bulky. Well, you know, you're picking up grocery bags out of your car. It weighs way more than 10 pounds. Gallon of milk, come on. The stuff that we pick up, you have to have some grip strength. That is the first thing that leaves people. And did you know that is one of the signs that your heart is getting weaker? So if your grip strength is getting weaker, you need to lift weights, because we need to make sure that we are getting strong, and we're getting strong throughout our entire body. I saw this video recently, and I cannot remember who the author of it was, who made this reel, but he was showing where women have to be able to pick up a minimum of at least 75 pounds and be able to walk across the room with it. And how many of you can do that? Just be honest. How many of you can actually do that? Like, pick up 75 pounds, walk all the way across your whole front yard and back. It's called a farmer carry. And that is a sign, that is something you need to work on. That is a sign that you, the rest of you, is that weak as well. So our grip strength is really important. The secret to burning fat while eating more, strength training, period. End of story. Lifting weights helps us rebuild muscle loss so that you can burn more calories, but it also helps you feel more energy. The more muscle you have, the higher metabolism you have. The higher your metabolism is, the more energy you have. The better you can do at pretty much everything that you want to do in your life, you're going to do way better if you have a higher metabolism. Stop obsessing over cardio. Walking is great. Walking is great. Walking plus strength training, BFF for a woman over 40 trying to lose weight. It's way more effective, and it doesn't take as much time as focusing on cardio. If you are doing so much cardio, you're actually burning calories, which is coming from glycogen, which is coming from muscle. We are not trying to take muscle off our body. We're trying to add muscle to our body. So at the most, you want to do maybe 2 to 3 sessions of cardio per week, 20 to 30 minutes tops. So if you're taking a 45-minute cardio class, you need to stop, step out after about 20 minutes and be like, my coach said to do that on the podcast. That's what she told you to do. That's what I want you to do, okay? The other thing, you have to be patient. It took you this many years to get, you know, however many. Most of the women that I get are in their 50s, no joke, because that's postmenopause. They are really dealing with all the weight gain that came from all the hormones and all the different things. They don't know how to eat to support that season of life. Heck, I didn't know how to eat to support. I had to walk through weight gain as well during that season. But it takes time to heal your metabolism. That is not something that happens overnight. And if you're thinking that it's gonna, you just need to go have a self-talk in the mirror and be like, this is not gonna happen overnight and it's fine. That's what I need you to do, okay? So you might see the scale go up before it goes down. Be okay with that. The scale is not something we're married to. We're done with ultra slim fast way of thinking. That is not how we think anymore. We are looking at the fact that this is muscle and not fat. A pound of muscle will fit in my hand. A pound of fat fits in two. So that's going to actually make the scale go up before this completely disappears. It really is. Not a lot, but it's going to go doo 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 doo. It's like watching the stock market. It's never going to be perfectly straight down or up. It just never is. So once you start fueling your body properly, everything changes. You are going to have more energy. You are going to have fewer cravings, and you are finally going to start seeing real results and lasting fat loss that's sustainable over time. If this episode hits home for you guys, I want to make sure that you know that I am here for you. If you've been stuck in this eat less, lose less cycle, I want to help you. And here's how I can help you. You can find me on Instagram, Donya Powers EC, and on TikTok, Donya Powers EC. You can also find me on YouTube, Donya Powers Empowered Coaching. And you can find me on Facebook as Donya Powers. And I'd love to chat with you. Just DM me the word metabolism. I'll know that you watched this episode, and we can chat about how to eat more and lose fat for good. You can also join my free Facebook group, which is the first pinned comment on my Facebook page, and I would love to help offer you some more tips and support. So if you found this helpful, share it with a friend, and I would love to connect with you. I would love to connect with you. Until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my divas.
Thanks for tuning into this latest episode of the Diva Deets. If this helped you and you found it valuable, share it with a friend who needs to hear it. Ready for more support? Join my free Facebook community or join my coaching community. The details are in the show notes. Don't forget to subscribe. And until next time, stay strong, stay consistent, and stay fabulous, my divas.